listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tohiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
My name is Christopher Robin. I'm not a doctor, as far as being a doctor in the eyes of the AMA.
I'm out here alone.
I'm the first person to inject marijuana oil directly into a tumor body.
Ooh, that long, long, lonely road. I'm out here alone.
The way you responded to me on the phone, you come out of your way, and you're giving away this Zetas medicine, and you're really concerned about the lives of other people, it makes you a light, a son of light. You know, I'm so glad to be near you. Thank you so much for bringing light to my life.
Tried my tears of pain and long time misery.
This may be a movie that we're making. This is 100% real. There are no actors.
What happened to the years long gone when the doctor, he'd be coming down the road to your home?
It's a transnational corporate is controlling.
And there were no medical schools. No one, no hospitals.
They would either give me chemo or radiation or cut everything out.
Will this doctrine he do? Ho, 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 ho.
Hello? go here, folks. This is a special edition of Prophecy Keeper Radio. We're going to be talking about healing from cancer with QRE Nano 9 CBD oil. And we're on the line with Professor Christopher Robin Hulliger. He's a professor of transgenic nanotechnology at Biodynamic Research at the University of Central Florida, biological engineer scientist who has isolated nanoparticles of cannabis complex series of compounds into an injectable CD. And as another person who's under his care, I can surely attest to its efficacy. So, Chris, why don't you introduce our guest, and I'll let you kind of talk to her and elicit some good thoughts. So, go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I'm Christopher Hulliger. And Alicia is the daughter of one of my patients in Georgia. They're a Georgia, South Carolina family. And Alicia and her mom came to me in the late September. Her mom was diagnosed with, Alicia, go ahead and tell the audience what your mom was diagnosed with and how we began our relationship.
Okay. So she was diagnosed with breast cancer, but no breast cancer was actually present in the breast. It was in her lymph nodes and in her spine. And so it was in her bones and just about every vertebrae up her spine and present on her hips, in her bones, and also in the lymph nodes that go up her spine.
My
and
word.
So, yeah. So she was stage four.
Yeah,
breast
cancer.
So I got
okay.
with Christopher.
Yep.
And then he can maybe tell you what we did.
Yeah. What did you guys do, Christopher?
So I looked at her her chart, her blood work, you know, her scans online, most patients are required to send us medical information, you know, either from their doctor or whatever medical information they have, and then once we have the patient's name and the doctor that they work with, we can usually get that information, you know, by way of, you know, internet, because basically, the patient has authorized us to you know, work with their physician, and so Dr. Green, Dr. Casso, and myself worked up a protocol, and I manufactured it and, you know, and sent it out. Most patients that I work with, we don't make a profit off of the manufacturing of the, you know, medicine for cancer patients, because we're a research organization, so the average cost to heal a patient of stage 3 or stage 4 cancer can run, you know, from $800 to $3,000. But in standard medicine, you're looking at $80,000 to $500,000.
Wow, what a difference.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're not looking for payment that a normal doctor would do. Because first of all, I'm not an MD, so I don't charge what an MD would charge. Although I have, 1,458 MDs worldwide that rely on me for, protocols to take care of their patients.
Wow.
But still, my passion, because I'm a long-term cancer patient myself, I was born with leukemia, and so I am currently the longest living leukemia patient in the world.
Yeah. Well, why don't you tell them, Chris, tell them a little bit about your cancer and what you did and for how long and so forth.
Well,
behind your right eye, right?
Well, that's not the only thing. I mean, I was diagnosed in 1989 with lymphoma, stage 3 lymphoma, and back in 89, I just treated myself with high dose vitamins and did IVs for about 6 months, and the cancer went away. And
wow.
Then in 94, I was diagnosed with testicular cancer, and I had to have one of them removed. Now they call me Lefty.
So if you went to China, they call you Wan Hong Lo.
Yeah, Wan Hong Lo, yes.
Yeah.
And then in 2010, I was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma, pancreatic cancer, and brain cancer behind my left eye. It was a glioblastoma and astroblioma. And in the hospital, I was given 5 to 20 days to live from Dr. Ian Anderson at Redwood Medical, Regional Medical Group. So I said, I'm going to die in this hospital in 5 to 20 days. They said, yes. So in this hospital, I'm going to die. How can you say that I'm going to die in 5 to 20 days? And then the doctor said, because I'm God.
Oh.
And I go, let me the fuck out of it. And so I left and I had been doing, research with a pediatric oncology doctor, Dr. Richard White, since 1987 at UC Davis and other universities, in different types of clinical research. But the medicine that I had been making had never been used on a human being. So my cancer was extremely serious at this point. I had 58 identified tumors throughout my body and in my brain. And I still have a couple of tumors. They're just not active. They don't have cancer in them anymore. They're benign. They're still there. I still feel them, and it still, affects my left region of my anterior part of my brain. Behind my left eye, my left optic nerve.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing I have anymore. But I made injectable CBD while I was just basically trying to make it out of the hospital and then back into my home. And then I came back. Manufactured some medicine, came back to Dr. Anderson's, begged him to, in his office, begged him to run a catheter directly into, the tumor that was in my pancreas. I can't legally say, because he won't acknowledge, because he would get in trouble. So I'll just say that it was you know, it was ran through my femoral artery. I can't say who did it, but it was ran through my femoral artery directly up to my pancreas, and 6 milliliters or 6 grams of nano-sized CBD THC that was 20% THC and 5% full spectrum CBD was infused directly into my pancreas, and it put me in a coma, you know, which I, you know, stayed in that elevated state for about 7 days. But in that 7 day period of time, starting the first, you know, within the first 24 hours, you could visually see the inflammation in my, you know, in my cavity, my chest cavity area, start to recede. So, when somebody is, you know, dying, your body fills with fluid, and especially with cancers like that, with that many tumors, you know, so the body is all swollen, and most people that have cancer, they don't die from the tumors themselves, they die from the inflammation. And so that was the first thing.
And the malnutrition too, you know.
That's right. Yeah, because they don't believe in the hospitals. They don't believe in feeding patients proper foods.
Yeah, they Dr.
They
Rogers,
give you garbage.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, they at the big cancer center down in Dallas or used to where whatever it is. They actually had a picture of lemon meringue pie, eat all you want. Well, the problem is in 1957, cells were taken from a black lady who had cancer, and that those cultures going forward, I guess, according to Dr. Rogers, are the benchmark for cancer and that's how he cultures and does his experiments. But yeah, he says there isn't a cancer that can't eat your food, and it's real good at it. So he says no sugar, no B12. I think he said, yeah. It also loves favorite two food foods are sugar and B12 vitamin. Well,
that's right.
Can you tell us a little bit? Maybe you don't want to. Maybe you want to. I guess it's no secret anymore because you were telling me that there was some espionage and maybe certain people around the world, the other side of the world, you know, they've got your process because they stole it or something.
Sure.
But anyway, yeah, can you tell a little bit, I guess, you know, a year or two ago, I was watching 60 Minutes and it was about a guy who built a huge plant near Reno, and he was recycling garbage by electron beam, turning it into energy. And so you had never said anything about it. One day I called you. I said, "Are you using electron beam?" and you said, "Who told you?" And I said, "I just guessed because you know I saw this thing." So, what can you tell me about the process? What to start with?
So I utilize 9 different frequencies. I use, you know, 4 sound waves and 5 light waves, and light wave frequencies. The Department of Energy came after me in 1991. At the same time, the FDA came after me, and they locked me up for economical terrorism. You know, so I spent a little bit over a year in a federal facility, Santa Rita, in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, Oakland area. And you know, so they locked me up for economical terrorism because I shared a little bit of information about, you know, Tesla technologies that I was utilizing, in the manufacturing of my medicines, and I can infuse any series of frequencies into the medicines that I use, and use it to attack any type of diseases in the body.
That's amazing.
I
didn't hear about your jail. I didn't hear about that. So that's 30 years ago. That's amazing.
Yeah. I don't fly today, and for a number of reasons, because whenever I go through TSA, I get flagged as a terrorist.
Wow. What is economic terrorism? Is that putting forth medicine that really, really works so good that you're going to put the doctors out of business? Is that the idea?
That's exactly what it is. They said that if I patented my process, the medical institutions would lose $1.2 trillion a year in financial
grants from the government.
Yes. Well, actually, more than that. It's everything.
Yeah.
It's
so there's slow walking.
It would just shut down. It would shut down the oncology industry.
Wow. Well, I've heard you have a federal judge or two on your side.
I do. Judges and senators and former presidents.
Wow, I've known you for a long time, and I never heard about most of this stuff. Oh my God! Well, folks, Chris is a very humble guy. If you met him on the street, you just think, mahalo, shaka sign, surfer. I mean, but you grew up just a few blocks from the Pacific Ocean. I used to live about a mile from you on 21st Street in Santa Monica, but. Well, that's just that's something else. That's some amazing information. Now, and sweetie, I've already forgotten your name. I'm an old man. What was your name again?
It's okay. It's Alicia.
Alicia. Okay, I've got that. Yep. And is spirit moving you to say anything else right now?
Yeah, I can tell you the rest of the story. So I guess a little bit more background. My mom is 83 years old, and what caused me to initially get in touch with Christopher was the amount of pain that she was in. So she had slept sitting up for 3 months because she was unable to lay down, and had this incredible pain that felt like something was gripping around her middle, so she could. She had gone from gardening every day to not being able to walk. And once she started using Christopher's protocol, within a couple of weeks, she was actually able to get up and down and start to walk around. And then probably five or 6 weeks into it, she could actually lay completely flat and lay down to sleep. So her first scan, it was amazing. So her first scan was taken in September. That's whenever they identified all of the tumors. And she actually, I'm not sure. I think it was the end of October when Christopher's name came to me or was sent to me to call him. And so she started treatment in November, and she just had a MRI last week, and she's scheduled for her PET scan next month. But her MRI, when they pulled it up and put it next to her scan that she had in September, all of the white tumors from September are all now dark gray. So they went from active to inactive.
Yeah.
And that's every single one of them in all of her vertebrae up her entire spine are all gray now.
That is amazing. I'm just amazed at the anti-inflammatory effect from this CBD. Little personal note here. I don't want to gross anybody out, but I have had on and off some problems with constipation. And one day last week, I had a really hard, you know, I should have taken an enema. I don't want to give you too much information, but, you know, my rear end hurt very bad. And I've always had one hemorrhoid down there, and I swear the whole, well, anyway, I thought, oh, my gosh, well, anybody that's had hemorrhoids and has tried preparation H knows it takes time and if it does going to work. Well, I thought to myself, well, I'm going to take three cotton balls or more, and I'm going to take, you know, 2-3 squirts of CBD, and I'm going to put right there at the orifice, and just let my cheeks hold it together. And I'm telling you, within 5 minutes, the pain was gone. The next morning, it was like it had never happened. And, you know, it's wow. Been 10 days. I was just astounded. But, you know, I don't know why I should be astounded, because in one of your videos on YouTube, you know, there's a gentleman, I guess he was from Kentucky, and he was having problems with the skin around his stoma interface was always inflamed.
Yeah.
And you just took some on your finger and put it, you know, and it just, boom, it was gone. It was yep. gone.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's just amazing. And wow.
So part of it that I didn't mention is that in her doctors had originally prescribed oral chemotherapy and radiation. She did do the radiation, and she did the oral chemo for about 10 days and was just unable to tolerate it. I think we really all thought that the chemo was definitely going to kill her quicker than she looked worse doing chemo than she did before she started it. So she put her faith in Christopher's products, cut out all of the sugar, and here we are. She's her pain level, when she stands up and down, as she says, between a 1 and a 2, and she's regaining her life again at 83 years old.
Yeah.
Oh,
what can I say?
One more thing, that this is really truly amazing, something I could see visually. We're putting the CBD massage oil on her back for her spine and for the tumors, and her back became sandy feeling, and she told me it's itchy, and she thought she was broken out and was worried about it. So I rubbed one of my fingernails over one of the rough spots, and a mole completely fell out. So she had a hole in her back, and I had a old dried up mole in my hand. So the moles on her back have dried up and fallen out. And her back is beautiful.
Yeah, I've heard things like that happening. A friend of a friend had a cancer, I guess it was on the side of their face, and it had several different rings, and, you know, different colors, and green and gray, and can't remember exactly what she did, but one day the whole thing literally fell out of her face, and it was the size and shape of a hockey puck.
Oh my
Can you
God.
Imagine? And it healed perfectly. So miracles, there are miracles available today, people. And I know, Chris, you didn't start this. I mean, you've got your grandfather, I guess, started you out in this, right?
Yeah, I was like 3 years old. My grandfather had a lab in his basement. And I, he had a funky house in Bridgeville, Delaware. But downstairs in his, you know, the underside of his house, he had a lab down there, really small space where he, you know, did, you know, some of his work. But he had, you know, other friends, you know, he would take me up to University of Delaware, you know, where he, you know, conducted different experiments. He worked in nuclear fusion in Germany and Switzerland during World War II. We're a French-Swiss, family. Our grandmother was Native American Indian, Lenny Lenape, Delaware Indian, because around the turn of the century, Native American Indian people had a price tag on them, and up until the 1930s, if you told people that you were Native American Indian, it would be very likely that you would end up being dead. So she claimed herself as Jewish, and traveled, with my grandfather all over the place, but in Nazi Germany, they accepted my grandfather because he was a nuclear, physicist, and he was working on nuclear fusion because that's what his father was doing with Nikola Tesla.
Wow.
So at three years old...
Apple didn't fall far from the tree.
my grandfather used to call me Dad. Or Pops. I was like 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, and he would call me Pops. He told me, the photos that he had of his father, I looked just like him.
Wow.
He thought that I was his father reincarnated.
And can you spell what the word he said, Pops?
P-O-P-S.
P-O-P-S, Pops, okay. Wow. Isn't that something? Well, you never know. It has been said that groups of people, pods of people, all reincarnate at the same time, and it usually skips a generation or two. With me, I could say, I had an ancestor who was a Confederate officer, and was captured near Vicksburg, and that's where my mother was from. And I tell you, sometimes I wonder, but I'm a big fan of General Patton. We all remember that famous speech he gave. I guess we're done unless edit out the junk and, put some bumper music on it and make it available a little later this evening. I'm going to give you the link to it. Okay, guys? Any parting thoughts?
Thank you.
Any parting thoughts or shots?
I never stop my work. I'm a lifelong researcher. I'm constantly looking for or searching for, the frequencies that will, change the lives of, the next people that cross my path.
You're not the only
Every single patient has a different frequency, in their body, and all these different diseases all carry a different frequency. So my job is to unravel the syndrome. I don't necessarily call it a disease because it's not really a disease. It's a syndrome within the genome, so it's causing, the genomes in the body to be erratic.
I lost my first wife to what you're saying there.
Yep.
Cancer running her family. Her mother had it and died at 48, and Joanne lived, I think she was about 51. I guess she was about, but anyway, I was the other way around, but yeah, she passed. It was originally breast cancer and the things that happened to me and her that year before and the year after she passed away, it was like the veil was open to me. And and I could go on and on about that. But, you know, needless to say, you know, I see her in my dreams. I mean, one time it was out in Texas, Oklahoma state line in a truck, and I saw Joanne, and she had a dream, and she had her face was kind of stern. So I called her best friend who I had married, and she said immediately, "Oh, did the company get a hold of you?" I said, "No." I said, "I saw Joanne, and she was looking concerned." She says, "Well, Joe is at Job Corps, and they think something happened with his heart. And they wanted your permission to do some test and the chances of him surviving the test." I told, you know, there's a possibility. I said, "Oh, no, forget it." And later on, we found out it was just atrial fibrillation. His grandpa had it. But you're not the only person that researches magnetic frequencies. I've got a good friend, Robert Three Eagles Shrewsbury. He built his own nuclear resonance magnetometer, and he can put in and search for four frequencies at one time, which comes in handy if you're looking for an old Spanish mine. And he says, unfortunately, he says the valley floor, you know, has risen, you know, because of stuff coming down out of the mountains, and they're all, you can't get down to them. You know, they were usually right at the foot of a cliff or a hill, but. You know, if you're looking for a Spanish mine, you know, you're looking for chlorine in the bones of the slave they buried in there, you know, left in there, and iron for chains, and there's something else. And my gosh, he's found literally dozens and hundreds of different. I mean, he taught me a way that it's a crude way. He calls it his magnetron, but all it is a douse. You take a pill bottle and put a good sized magnet in there in the bottom with the north side up, and seal it up. Then punch a hole in the top of the medicine bottle and put the back end short end on whatever you're looking for with a pure sample. Say of silver, you put a silver coin down in there, and then the antennas will lead you in the direction of if there's any silver around, and if it's buried, it's because it's resonating the same frequency as silver, the antenna will build back towards you, and there's a way you can find out how deep it is too. But when you get right over it, the thing starts spinning counterclockwise. So it pinpoints, it tells you how deep it is. It's simply amazing. You know, but he learned things about frequencies that are amazing. Like he knows, he did a spreadsheet, and he says certain frequencies kind of wane and wax. And he said, you know, after the flood, the earth was put under the control of the moon. So he looked at moon cycles, and he knew how to tweak what he was resonating that way. And he's done a lot of treasure recovers, and, you know, 10 times in 1 year, a gold mine down near Birmingham brought him down because they lost the vein because of earthquake or whatever. So he would go in and tell them, okay, well, you need to go up and over, and you'll find it up there inside the mountain. So and he could tell you grades, you know. He could tell you if there is an open void, you know, or tunnel under. It's just amazing what he could do. And then, of course, there's another friend I work with named John, and he used to carry a badge as water inspector for the city of Chicago, and he worked out a way to purify water. And Robert, he sent one of his product to Robert one day, and Robert says, he says, "What's in here is hydrogen 3. He says, "And it's really good for you." And you know, he'd take thousands of these things, and they would literally clean up a big mess. and their waterworks. So it's definitely an up-and-coming field, and amazing things have been done, and they're going to continue to be done. And it's been an honor to be on the air with you guys tonight. And anyway, God's blessing on you, and we'll let you. Thanks, folks.
Thank you.
This is Yasa Sago, a seventh great grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault.
This is Yasa Sago, a seventh great grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault.
of other times let the wind blow. Let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy keeper, prophecy keeper.
Thank you.